This is the Truth Radio Network. It's the Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.
Do you dream in chocolate?
For most, chocolate is a guilty pleasure, made better because it's so bad for you. Now though, an extensive study has discovered that eating chocolate can be very good for your health. It can substantially reduce your risk of having a heart attack or stroke, and helps lower blood pressure. And before you check the date, this isn't a wind-up. The study was carried out by German nutritionists and kept track of chocolate eaters for at least 10 years. Even the British Heart Foundation agrees with the findings.
Dark chocolate has had a lot of publicity in the past about it being beneficial, and we think that that's due to the flavanols, which are actually in the cocoa, and there's some suggestion that that's actually the chemical that actually has got the heart protective effect.
The study monitored more than 19,000 people and found that eating just 7.5 grams of dark chocolate a day reduced the risk of heart attacks and strokes by 39%. Even better, those who ate the most chocolate had the greatest benefit. As always though, there is a catch. High-end chocolates like these are the most beneficial.
When things are added to chocolate, that's when it starts to become fattening and higher in calorie. The more natural it is, the better it is for you. So the darker and the richer and the better the quality of the chocolate, the better it is for you.
So this Easter, don't feel guilty. It's good for you. Some of these even add towards your 5 a day, as they contain real fruit. Of course, the problem is, will it taste as good now it's no longer bad?
Of course it will.
Cocoa Pod now in session.
You gotta keep Cocoa Pops away from me!
But wait!
It turns everything chocolatey! And they make me go cuckoo!
Well, they're munchy and crunchy!
Oh.
Now what's wrong with that?
I call my first and only witness, Cocoa Pops!
Chocolate in the cone!
I'm Cocoa for Cocoa Pops! Cocoa for Cocoa Pops!
Chocolatey Cocoa Pops, part of a good breakfast.
I find you guilty of being delicious.
Those who ate the most chocolate had the greatest benefit.
This is the coffee pot at work. Listen to it perk. Look at the coffee as it gets darker and stronger. Smell the honest coffee smell. Ah, smell it. But will this cup of coffee taste as good as it smells? You bet it will.
Like red wine and sunshine, over the years, coffee has run a wide range in health circles. From being neutral, to bad for you, to good for you, and back to neutral. It seems like every other day, someone is telling us why we should or shouldn't drink coffee. Well, I'm here to break this down for you. Like red wine and sunshine, caffeine in excess is not necessarily good for you. But research is piling up, indicating that coffee in moderation offers some great benefits. Let me count thy ways. Coffee is the single largest source of antioxidants in Americans' diets. Research shows that caffeine improves endurance and athleticism when consumed before a workout. Coffee has been found to reduce the negative health effects of things like smoking and drinking. Not that it makes smoking okay, it is just a glimpse at how powerful coffee may be. Finally, there's research showing a connection between coffee drinking and a lower risk of diabetes, Parkinson's, and certain cancers. Also, one recent study even found that coffee drinkers live longer. So remember, if you don't get jittery and have disrupted sleep, drinking a cup or two of coffee per day may make you feel just a little bit better.
Here come the coffee beans that make Yuban the world's richest coffee. Yuban, created by General Foods, world's largest importer and roaster of coffee. You bet. Richest because it is blended with rare aged coffee beans. Fresh roasted at peak flavor.
Deep, dark, delicious, you bet.
Other coffee beans are roasted green in color, young in flavor. But Yuban adds to its blend beans that are aged to peak flavor, like vintage wine, the choicest cheese, the finest steak. Yuban, coffee such as you have never experienced before. Yuban, world's richest coffee, blended with rare aged coffee beans. Well worth the few extra pennies you'll pay. Try Yuban soon.
Deep, dark, delicious Yuban.
Your cups and cups and cups, dozens of extra cups of the coffee with that warm bean flavor. Warm bean flavor because it's made from coffee beans still warm from roasting.
Something about warm coffee beans just makes the world seem okay in this crazy mixed up world. And I'm sure Army Girl can say the same thing about cocoa beans, but instead of me just speculating, why don't we just ask her? Army Girl, Karen, what's your thoughts on coffee beans? And then before you answer, I've got to welcome everyone into the show. Boy, what a crazy, crazy world we live in. But we are blessed we're blessed with simple little joys, little pleasures that the Lord gives us. You know, we talked about this last week about coffee and chocolate being part of those joyful things that the Lord provides for us. You know, humor is another one of those things. There's many things. But before I go off on that, the sound of warm coffee beans sounds good to me. Just that phrase, warm coffee beans. Just, you know how certain words or scents or smells or noises that you hear make you feel good or bring back certain memories? Well, that's how coffee is to me. So I wanted to ask you really quick. When somebody, it's going to sound funny, the way it comes out of my mouth, but when somebody mentions chocolate, do your ears perk up like a dog? Because my ears perk up like a dog when somebody says coffee.
Well, I think everything perks up. My ears, my taste buds, I start drooling, I get glazy-eyed. So all the senses get involved here. And I've got three words for that, Jay. Warm chocolate pudding.
Ooh, warm, yes. Warm chocolate pudding. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it. Well, I've heard of it.
Well, the cook and serve type. You put on the stove.
Right.
You know, and you cook, oh my,
right.
I don't wait for it to get cold, of course.
Oh, boy. And just for you folks, if you're listening in for the first time, this is not a cooking show, but Army Girl Karen is a chocolate lover, and I am a coffee freak. So it's inevitable that those two topics are going to make it into the show at one point or another, other than our intros.
Absolutely, Jay. And, you know, it's funny how it funnels to the top. Just about every show. It gets in there. So we just get that over and done with so that we can concentrate on the topics at hand because, as you said, the world is still not so, the politics, we had a lot happen. A lot happen within a week every week.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, well, you mentioned it with politics, and I even hesitate to get into that topic.
Oh, boy.
Because I have a lot of conflicting viewpoints as far as politics and religion go, or politics and faith
mm-hmm.
go. You know, my viewpoints conflict drastically with mainstream Christianity viewpoints on politics and faith and how they're intermingled and everything. And this isn't anything new, but over the last, year and a half, 2 years, I've kind of taken a step back and looked at the whole picture. And I start to not question myself, but I like to pose the question, how does your politics color your religion and vice versa? How does your religion color your politics? And a lot of people that I talk to have a hard time separating the two. But my thinking is if we're living biblical lives like Jesus lived, politics shouldn't even equate into our faith.
Well, our faith, we live every day, and we go by what God's word says for us. And we know that nations and rulers are placed there, you know, for order and for, I mean, government is a good thing for the people, not, you know, to have guidelines, and God even gives us laws and commands to do in his word, what he does want us to do, what he doesn't want us to do, what sin is, what blessings are. And there are absolutes that we live by according to God's word, not that we made it up, but we believe in God's word. We believe in the sanctity of life, that God gives all life by his hand, that he knits us in our mother's womb, like his word says, that he knew us before we were in our mother's womb, that he ordains our birth and our life and our death, and all of that is in his hands as creator God, and that we're made in his image. And as such, as Christians, while we know that our government is obviously corrupt, because all governments are corrupt, I mean, they're run by men in a world system that's fallen. So, of course, there's corruption. But as far as what these people stand for, I don't really feel personally like I can go against what I hold to be true in my beliefs. And you're never going to find someone who absolutely agrees with everything, because politics is a dirty business, and politics are exactly what they are. They're made for pleasing the masses. They're made for getting votes and having influence. So a lot of people walk on the line, some way to the left, some way to the right, some down the middle, some change in the middle. They tell us one thing, like Obama did. Like many, I'm just using him as an example, you know, saying that he was against, or he was for traditional marriage. I'm trying to think of some, maybe you can remember some of his promises, but in the middle said, well, I've evolved. I think Hillary has said the same thing about gay marriage, as well as, you know, they're both for abortion. They both bless Planned Parenthood, which we believe is the murder of the unborn. Location to us is not the issue, whether it's in or outside the womb. A human being is a human being to us, and we believe that God values that human being. So we have, at least from my standpoint, I have to look at some of those basic things. If you don't even have a belief in the sanctity of life, and I mean, that's kind of for me where it starts, then I think your whole worldview is through the lens that entails. And then, of course, these people that run, a lot of times they're not Christians. So we're left with worldly people with worldly values. It's a very difficult thing, Jay. I struggle with this every time we have an election. And then that's not even rolling over the manipulations, and if it's, you know, if the votes are corrupt, if. I mean, when you're talking power and money and politics, it doesn't go far behind that manipulation and corruption and deception follow, because that's just how it works.
Right, and you know, you mentioned the word power, and as you were talking, I just looked up the definition of politics. Just wanted to look up the definition. The definition is the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. That's right out of Webster's. So politics, power, there's a lot of power that people can achieve. And what do we know about power, especially absolute power? Or, you know, it you're very right on the point when you talk about corruption, and especially when you mentioned, you know, our politicians will say one thing and then they'll turn around and say another. I have yet to find a politician that has not flip-flopped on a major issue come election time. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I think, you know, maybe Ron Paul, he flip-flopped at times. Now, his flip-flopping wasn't as major as a lot of other politicians, but he's a politician nonetheless. Now, Rand Paul, same thing. Everybody flip-flops because people want to have their ears tickled. They want to have their ears tickled, and especially with this election, boy, this election right now, this year, is kind of, in my opinion, going to set the tone of the direction that this country will be heading in for decades. We're either, because if it's not going to be Donald Trump for the Republican Party, it will be Marco Rubio. I've said that for the last month and a half now. And if it's most likely going to be Bernie Sanders for the Democrats. And I'm not saying that because I'm a fan of Bernie Sanders or anything. I'm just looking at the political atmosphere, and there's a lot of backlash towards Hillary because of what you had mentioned, the flip-flopping and everything. I mean, Bernie Sanders is no angel. No living on earth is an angel, there are folks. But at least Bernie Sanders has been a consistent socialist. He doesn't run from it. He doesn't hide from it. Now, he might change his mind or his responses on certain issues, but to the core, he is a socialist, and he hasn't changed that. Now, you can't say that for, like a Hillary, because Hillary has tried to court the conservatives before, and the conservative, what used to be the conservative wing of the Democrat Party, I can't find that anymore. I looked. I think I'd have a better chance of finding Waldo than the conservative part of the Democratic Party. But, you know, all of the politicians do flip-flop, and I think that this election here is going to set the tone for the next few decades, whether we are going to live in a socialist country with Bernie Sanders as president and furthering the socialism agenda, or if it's Donald Trump. Are we going to live in this country where everybody is bickering and picking? And we already got that now. I mean, that we're so divided as a nation, and that's unfortunately, I believe by design, because it's so much easier, Karen, to rule when, you know, you're worried about what your neighbor is doing or what your people down the street are doing, more so than what you're worried about what your government is doing. And a lot of people just have no appetite for politics. And I'm afraid with this election, with these choices we have, folks are going to get tuned out even more. But I absolutely love Donald Trump for the entertainer that he is. He is entertaining, without a doubt. I don't agree with a lot of what he says. I don't believe he really kind of has an idea of how to be president. But see, that's not even a big issue with me, because Obama didn't have any clue or any idea. But the one difference was that Obama was embraced by the Democratic Party. So they groomed him over the years. His first couple years of the presidency were nothing like the last couple years as far as his speaking and his agenda and everything. I mean, he's really been groomed. But for Donald, there really is a divide in the Republican Party as to whether, you know, the Republican Party is going to fully back him or not. You know, my biggest concern with Donald Trump is that he gets bored with this election, and come August, he's like, I'm dropping out of the race. That's my biggest concern, because if that happens and Bernie Sanders is the nominee, then, you know, say hello to President Bernie. So I just wanted to get your take on that. You know, if it's going to be Donald versus Bernie, you know, what direction do you see the country going in?
Well, it's absolutely, if the Democrats get in, okay, there's going to be more appointments of the Supreme Court judges. There's two or three judges that are getting elderly. We just saw the demise, and I'm not going to even comment on what I think about that. I have questions in my mind about Judge Scalia, but that's beside the point. But what we're talking about are people who, it seems like the Supreme Court looks over time, as liberals go, they've looked at the popular opinion and how culture, what culture accepts and doesn't accept over the years. And yet we had somebody like Judge Scalia, who was an adamant person for the Constitution and staying, you know, close to that particular ruling, according to that, which is what we base our country on. We've all, for better or worse, we have a constitution in this country. And it works when it works, and it worked for a while. And I think I've just got so many things on my mind right now because of what we tend to forget, we don't talk about very much, Jay, that I was doing some studying on Betty Friedan over the last few days, listening to some of her interviews from her mouth, who is one of the women's movement founders back in the 60s. And not only that, she founded several abortion-type organizations. There was a lot of offshoots that she founded. But she came from a labor background, which, okay, traditionally in this country, there was a big fear of communism. There was a big fear of a takeover of communism. Like in the Kennedy, she talked about the Kennedy area, Kennedy era. There was a lot of talk about communism, and you don't hear that much anymore. We know that Frank Davis, who was one of Obama's mentors from early on, was a card-carrying communist. We also know that a lot of demonstrators back in Betty Friedan's day and in the universities that were taking actions against different social issues, especially pushed in the universities, that the general attitude is that capitalism is demonized. I mean, absolutely demonized. The rich are demonized. Corporations are demonized. And yet what I see in Scripture is that God gives us capitalism in its pure form works. There's good, healthy competition. You get good quality products, because if you don't have a good quality product, somebody else will go down the street and go to the other store and get it. There's competitive prices. There's workforce. And you know, a community was supported by businesses that were all over the country. Here in our country. And I am not a fan of corporations at all, and especially corporations getting into government where they have had contributions to these candidates. And, I mean, like you just look at Jeb Bush, for instance. They keep talking about how much money he had from all of these special interest groups, and that makes a big deal about a candidate, how they sway. And but I think that God gave us individual freedoms, and rather than the collective. And with a communist socialist mindset, it sounds really good because it sounds like everybody's going to be more equal, everything is going to be laid out more fairly, and there's going to be more social justice, and da-da-da-da. But history says that it just hasn't worked very well. That's not what our founding fathers chose to make us into, a socialist. We never wanted to flip into a socialist country until, I mean, who would have ever thought a presidential candidate, even 5 years ago, would come forward and admittedly say out and out that he's a socialist and be put on the race and be applauded? That's just kind of crazy in itself.
But, oh, absolutely.
I have to say, though, I'm with you as far as I think what's refreshing about Trump is that he's bold, although I will say he's a little crude with that boldness. He does take a stand on some things, and I think there's some ego there, you know, running, but he's outspoken because he's not afraid of the press. He's not, and probably too much so, not caring what people think. But it's refreshing to us, I think, as a country, to see someone who at least has the guts and the courage to speak out against some of these puppeted, and, you know, you wonder how much of it. They're all, it seems like, you know, in the beginning he said, well, he has friends that are the Democrats, and he has friends that are Republicans, and he has friends that are business and corporates. And so who knows what we're getting fed, what we want to hear. Like you said, the itching ears. They know what to say. Every single candidate forever has known what to say. They have campaigns for a reason. They
right.
look at what a society is in need of, and they will promise the moon to give you whatever the that's what they take polls all the time, to kind of gauge how are we doing in that area, and then they'll tweak it and go the other area. And it's an ad marketing campaign. It's obviously that there's a lot of propaganda. But in general, I think people have lost faith, so to speak, in the government system in this country. Government is a bad word. And there's a lot of factors that are causing that mindset. So I'm with you. If Sanders gets in, we're in big, big trouble, because a lot are mainly the Supreme Court is what I'm more concerned about, for one thing, because, among other things. But that's big, because, like you said, those people are appointed for life. And the decisions
right.
that they make, that's the highest court in the land. I mean,
right.
it
you know,
goes
and
the Supreme Court.
Right, and I agree with your concerns about the Supreme Court, but to remind folks that President Bush appointed John Roberts, and he was supposed
mm-hmm.
to be conservative, and he's
yeah.
been anything but conservative.
True.
On issues. So, you know, to me, it doesn't really, I don't think, you know, and it's the system has been in place for a very long time now. I don't think presidents should appoint Supreme Court justices. I think they should go through a vetting process through from both the House and the Senate. I do believe that they should be tenured. I don't believe it's lifetime, because if they're tenured, if they're lifetime, there's no responsibility for their action. They don't have to take any responsibility
mm-hmm.
for their because they can't get voted off the bench. They can't get removed from the bench. In most
mm-hmm.
cases, they won't be. So I believe the political appointments of Supreme
mm-hmm.
Court justices is not the way to do it, because it does fall down to political lines. And I do share your concerns with Bernie appointing Supreme Court justices. Scalia thing. In the one about Obama wanting to make an appointment, you know, to nominate his choice. And there's a lot of talk from the right. They're saying, oh, no, he can't do that. He should wait till after the election. This isn't the first time that a lame duck president, a lame duck, for you folks who don't know, is the president who's in the last year of his term. This isn't the first time that a lame duck president has had the opportunity to appoint Supreme Court justice, or to nominate a Supreme Court justice. It's happened before.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah,
traditionally,
they don't nominate them and put them in, right? I mean,
right. There's
they
a vetting
nominate
process.
Them one year.
Ask,
and then,
right, ask, mm-hmm. ask Judge Bork about the vetting process. He knows all about that. You know, he was supposed to be a Supreme Court justice back, I'm dating myself now. But, you know, Judge Bork was supposed to be a Supreme Court justice and didn't get through the vetting process. You know, to me, this whole talk about the Supreme Court right now is a distraction, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
yeah.
you know, Obama can name somebody as a nominee, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be appointed. He's got to go through the whole vetting process and this and that. My opinion, it's just, you know, if there's somebody qualified that Obama wants to put up there as a Supreme Court justice, fine, let him do it. But let him do it because it's a qualified person, not because it's a school move, because you want to do it because the Republicans, because you don't want the Republicans to do it. And the same thing on the other side. Don't go out and fight with Democrats or those on the left about the Obama wanting to nominate the next Supreme Court justice simply because he's a lame duck president. You know, because it has happened before, and it's yielded some good results. Clarence Thomas was a lame duck nominee for the Supreme Court, and that's he can, you know, as far as conservatives go, I think Clarence Thomas would probably be the most conservative on the bench right now. That's just my opinion.
Oh yeah,
but see, people have gotten this in their mind that they've got to everything now in this country, Karen, has come down to politics. Everything. We're so divided. We're almost as divided on politics as we are in race. It's getting that bad in this country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure it is. Well, that's because you've got people who want big government, and you've got people who want small government. I mean, limited government. And that's always going to be an argument because, you know, if you're a globalist, you've got to break down the Constitution. You've got to break down the sovereignty of this country. You've got to break down what is considered inequality. And you see that in, you know, all over the world, people are talking about this, to break down the borders, have a one-world government, have a one-world economic system eventually, you know, to bring peace, to bring better you know, a better environment without war. There's all these goals worldwide that we hear about all the time. So there are people in government and in that have been working in this country probably for at least 100 years who have been moving us more towards the left all the while. I mean, a lot of the Republicans that were on the right side of the middle of the road have almost flipped over, if not gone over to the left side.
Right.
So you've got a few fringes of probably extremes, but for the most part, people in general are moving toward popular opinion and globalism. And that's what's being indoctrinated in the universities. It's really interesting when I was listening to this Friedan talk, because she had a lot of political influence and power, and they were asking her opinion, since she had written the Feminine Mystique, which was a book she wrote about basically women who were not being fairly treated supposedly in the workforce. But she claimed that whole movement had gotten into a distraction of the sexualized areas, where she felt that it was economics that was really the issue, that the true women's movement was about. So if you start looking at that, actually a socialist government would be more conducive to melding in equality for men and women economically, as she's saying. Corporations, in her mind, are also, you know, to be gotten rid of. And she worked in the labor union. She was a reporter and a journalist and worked for a labor, I don't know if it was a communist newspaper, but it was definitely a left-wing newspaper, and
right,
such reporting on strikes and things that were going on within the labor force. And so a lot of this is entangled into a web, really. I mean, it's hard to point one particular thing. But in general, what our country is going for, I think, as a whole, is big government. And as far as the religion part of it is, away from the Bible, away from, you know, absolutes, away from taking a stand on actually making the Bible the authority of our beliefs, and moving into this global interfacism, you know, it's all melding together. And that's what I see happening. And there's no way we're going to stop it, because the Bible already told us, God's given us a heads up that this is going to happen. And it's been coming for years and years. and
oh, yeah.
A general slow move of out towards humanism with man as the center and determining what his fate and what his, you know, right down to the fact that we're going to bring world peace. And we're going to do it all without Christ. We don't need the living God. We don't need any of that stuff. We're going to figure this thing out. We're going to fix climate change. We're going to fix the poor. We're going to fix no wars. I mean, it's man exalting himself to the place of God. And
yeah,
the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is death. And that's what we do. We just way back in the beginning, where Lucifer in the heavenlies wanted to do his thing apart from God, was rebellious and kicked out of the heavenly realm. Then we have the garden where Adam and Eve decided they would do the thing the way that they wanted, and not what God told them to do. And ever since then, we have this tendency in our flesh, especially unredeemed flesh, unsaved flesh that we live in, is against God. It fights against, because we want our way. We want to be on that throne. And all of us, we're in that position. We come into this world like that. We inherited this from our original parents. And so, unless we have a regenerated, you know, become new creatures in Christ Jesus and have a new regenerated heart, and we're brought into from the dark into the light, and God's light. You know, there's two camps, Jay, right? I mean, you're either in the dark or you're in the light. There's just no in between.
Well, biblically, no. But in the world we live in, there is a lot of gray. There is an in between.
Oh, sure.
You know,
a lot
and,
of compromise.
And that's unfortunate. Right, lukewarm is the word the Bible mentions.
Exactly.
And you're right,
but
it has a lot to do with ego and man's desire to be on that throne.
Well, it is. And you know, it calls us to what the Bible calls crucifying our flesh daily. And what that means is that our flesh wants to rise up and be like God. That was the original lie. That was the original sin. That Lucifer, and now he's Satan, our adversary, doles out to mankind that we can, and right down to the New Age movement, where we can actually and are divine inside, and that we're one universal energy and force, and that we are gods, little gods, all together as one force in the universe. And, there's different factions of what people think of as God, but that just really, the flesh is probably our biggest enemy, even as Christians, because that flesh is strong. It wants to fight and have its way. It's like a brat. And we have to crucify that and bring it under the lordship of Christ and make it line up to God's word. And it's a battle for us, you know. And God helps us with it, but that's part of sanctification. As we become more Christ-like, God starts purifying us by his Spirit and helping us convert more into a Christ-like image. And that's, we're still not Christ. We're still separate as a creation from God, from the Creator. And to be also the problem, Jay, with the globalists is, you know, Jesus calls us to be separate. We're in it, but separate. And that just, you know, that is not going to fly with this one O-N-E cap world system.
Yeah, I agree. It's not going to work in any political system. You're going to have those who are happy with it and those who aren't happy with it. Now, with this current push towards socialism, there's a lot of people who like what the socialist politicians have to say, and what they're offering without understanding the repercussions of those actions, those actions were taken. You know, in this day and age, I believe Joseph, or might have been Rusty on one of our Thursday shows, said that we live in a fast food world where everybody wants everything now. And you don't, for the most part, people do not contemplate the lack of separation from these actions present day to what it's eventually going to be, you know. And what bothers me the most about Bernie especially is that he's targeting these idealistic, young, bright-eyed college kids who really do not have an understanding how the world works, who really don't understand the political system and the repercussions of decisions that are going to be made. A lot of these kids who are cheering for Bernie and want Bernie are going to find out that if Bernie becomes elected president, that when they turn retirement age or they go to get some kind of benefit, that what they're promised isn't going to be there for them. It's just the way politics is. Even with Bernie being an admitted socialist, him wanting to do all these things, there's a really good chance that 10% of what he's proposing is actually going to be done. But that doesn't mean that the country isn't going to move in that direction eventually. So we've got these bright-eyed, indoctrinated, for the most part, young people who and this is probably the theme of this generation, who want to feel like they are important. They want to feel like they belong to something. And Bernie has got their attention. And I don't think Hillary can do that. She's kind of the... And it's funny because both parties are throwing this word around, the establishment. Hillary is part of the establishment. And as we've seen over the last few months, both political parties are kind of moving, not the parties, but the politicians are moving more towards anti-establishment because that's what their constituency demands. So I think there's a lot of hope. And I hate to even throw that word out there because that was such a terrible slogan, you know, for this current president. Hope and change, hope and change. Yeah, well, it didn't work out too good for a lot of people. And a lot of those same voters who voted for Obama have a sour taste in their mouth because of it. Because everything they were promised, the things that they thought they were going to get, it hasn't happened.
Well, that's it, Jay, and I just want to make another comment and keep going back to this Betty Friedan, but it was interesting back when they interviewed her. I think she died in 02, and that was prior to 08 where Obama came to the scene. But she was talking to these two professors from an Eastern college, and she was just discussing how there was no movement, meaning like there was the civil rights movement, there was the women's movement, but that had died down and there was no real, quote, movement. You know, people weren't really protesting anything and there just wasn't a movement for change and social change and economic change and everything. And I was thinking, okay, so that was then. And then here comes Obama in 08. Saying he wants to fundamentally change America and redistribute the wealth. And then the next 4 years, his slogan was forward. So she talked about a movement that needed to move forward, a movement of social change that needed to gather some strength. But see, what I saw in that is not necessarily what you would call a movement, like in the old days where you could say, well, this is the women's movement or the civil rights movement.
But it is a movement of liberals who have, I thought, here set Obama in there. And this is the perfect storm for them, the perfect person to make some major changes. Look at the changes he's made in 8 years. Incredible. But they're
absolutely
all applauding. You know, this is great. This is wonderful. More big government. More big government. More redistribution of wealth. And now you've got Sanders coming up. Yay, more socialism. More socialism. More goodies. And he's saying, oh, you're going to have free college. You're going to have free this, that, and the other. And, you know, God's word, again, we believe that his ways are perfect. And he wants a man to work a good day's labor and get paid a fair wage for that work. That's his intent, for man to work, if possible. And obviously
right.
There's some of those cases people can't, and we have programs for that, and that's good. But a lot of people use that and misuse it. And, you know, I was talking to my husband one day, and I said, well, where did this big government come from? And the states used to self-govern themselves. You know, they made decisions, especially in education, local decisions, who was elected, how they wanted their schools to be run, and all of that. And the Department of Education did through that, and all of a sudden the government was saying, okay, we're going to give you this money, but in exchange for that, you've got to do this, this, and this to the state. And so the government money started rolling into the states, and more control of the federal government came into the, each state. And it's just, it really was not intended to be that way. Federal
right.
government was to keep us safe from outside invasion and, you know, give us a certain form of government. But it was never meant to worm its way right down to the local level of each state. And that seems to be what people have been indoctrinating at least for 40 years, if not more, towards socialism and ultimately communism.
Right.
And again, like I say, that's not talked about. But it is socialism, and democratic socialism really is another word for communism, because what you've got is a state dictating the distribution of things. And is that really where we want to go? Do we all just want to sit around and let the state dictate everything? Because it seems to me like that seems to be the collective mindset. And they're using, again, this global thing. They've broken out of the United States borders to looking at what the UN does, to looking at what everything is happening around the world. It's not just within our borders and our states and our local cities. It's, whoa, what are we as a global entity? And, you know, that was not something that our forefathers really set up our government for, was for us to take complete conquest of the world. But that's what communists do. They want to have a one-world system.
Well, you know, we're pretty much in a one-world system. It just hasn't been officially
mm-hmm.
announced yet. You know,
mm-hmm.
we still have the illusion
sure.
here that we're a free country. But when it comes down mm-hmm. to it, we really do not practice self-determination anymore as a country. We kind of go
mm-hmm.
along with the program, whatever the global program is. How many times have you heard the global community, the phrase the global community, in,
mm-hmm.
in reference to us joining other nations to do something? You know, the global community, the bombing in Syria or in Libya, oh, it was the global community's will. So we're already at
mm-hmm.
a tipping point as far as that goes. It just hasn't been
mm-hmm.
Officially declared. But just because
mm-hmm.
Just because the weatherman hasn't said the sunshine is warm, You don't need someone to tell you that. All you have to do is look, go outside and check for yourself. And it's the same thing with global governance.
Mm-hmm.
Cut through mm-hmm. the rhetoric, cut through all the BS, and research. See how far we've become part of this, quote, global community. And then, you know, come back and talk about, you know, us practicing self-determination. It's a very slippery slope. And Karen,
mm-hmm.
the amazing thing is that this has been going on. This movement towards globalism and a global governance and global religion and global economic and monetary policy, the push has been going for decades and decades and decades. And it's not something that's done
mm-hmm.
overnight and something that's done quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being fed something that's poisonous or bad for you. Now, bleach in itself isn't bad. You can even ingest a little bit of bleach, and it's not bad for you. Because
mm-hmm.
we have chlorine in our water. Some of our fruits and vegetables are washed in a chlorine solution, so we ingest it a little bit at a time. But if you drink a whole gallon
mm-hmm.
of bleach, it'll kill you. So that's
mm-hmm.
how I liken this shift towards globalism. Is, you know, we've been
mm-hmm.
given a drop of bleach here, a drop of bleach there, a drop of bleach there, until we've ingested the whole gallon decades later.
Well, exactly, Jay, and that's the whole thing. It's a process. That's why progressives talk about a process, progression. You know, it's like the proverbial frog in the boiling water. It starts out cold. The frog is in the water, cold, no problem. But as the heat gets turned up gradually, the frog doesn't realize the temperature is changing until the boiling point. The frog dies because it has no way of determining how hot or cold the water is.
Right.
If you gradually, you know, bring it up to boiling point, and that's really what we're talking about, is through propaganda, through manipulation, through universities, you know, pumping out lots of liberal mindsets, anti-God mindsets, global mindsets, and all these, you know, they say, well, everybody have a free education. Well, the thing is, they're dumbing down the kids already to do any objective thinking. So they go through these universities, indoctrination centers, to get them more to be a globalist, socialist mindset. And then they set them out. Okay, so they've got a degree, and what are they going to do? So we've got this honeycomb mindset of a collective. You know, even we've talked about this before in sports. You don't have
right.
a competitive team where somebody gets a trophy for winning. It's like, oh, no, everybody wins because everybody participated. And so there's no good, healthy incentive and motivation to better yourself or do better. And I'm not saying that some of that, you know, some people are better in areas than others are. We all have different gifts.
Right.
Some football players, some baseball players are outstanding among everybody else. But then other people that aren't like that have their gifts. Everybody's been given gifts of some sort to use. But with this collective mindset, it's like, well, it goes right down to where, you know, in the communist China, where they were wearing all browns, and all the women were wearing the same thing the men were, and they had their hair cut short, everybody was the same. I mean, it was just this cog of same, you know, living quarters, same everything. It was just disgusting. No gender identity. You know, in the States, they've got a real problem over there because they were engineering how many children were going to be born over there and what sex of children. And now they've got a real mess. They've engineered this, you know, with one child and then two child policies of a certain gender of kids, and
is this really what we want to go to, is to be controlled like that? Like you say, they don't have the idea. There's ignorance of history, Jay. They don't teach the kids history. So there's no way to go back, for the most part, and look and study history and empires and study civilizations and things like that, that governments, systems, like you were saying. And what is socialism? What are the ramifications if we become socialists? But these kids are too busy on their cell phones. They're, you know, and really, what is their world like? They can't even get a job. They come out of the universities and they're living with their parents. It hasn't been real great for them either. I would be discouraged if I was just coming out of college and, okay, here I am, and, well, crickets, you know, we talked about Carrier heating and cooling taking off, and there's another 1,400 jobs that are gone. What are we going to do with these people? We have to assimilate them somewhere.
Right.
And that's just one example, but we've got people that even if you did go to the universities and get a degree and you get out, what are you going to do with it? Because innovation has to come from business. It has to come from entrepreneurs and people who provide services and stuff, but they've trashed that so bad that now the state is going to distribute the goods and the services and such. Ugh. It's not a pretty picture.
No, it sure isn't. Excuse me, frog in my throat. He must be going after the coffee.
it's kind of a Marxist labor movement kind of thing, you know. It's a labor movement. That's what socialism is.
Right, it is. It is. And it's surprising to me in some respects, but then in many other respects, it's not so surprising that there's a large group of individuals in this country that are clamoring for socialism, simply because, like you said, they're indoctrinated. History is not taught, but you don't even have to know history to understand socialism doesn't work. Just look at the last couple of years in some of the most socialist, left-leaning European countries. You can see the unemployment rate has not gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes are going up. Services are being cut. So all these promises, all these feel-good things that these politicians say that they're going to do, A, usually don't get done, and B, in the process of getting done, destroys the already fragile government system that was in place. I mean, look at what Obamacare has done to the medical industry. And now, and a lot of us had said it from the get-go, it was doomed to fail from the start in order to bring about the real program that they want, which is a single-payer system. I mean, that's where this is all heading. That's where this is all heading, but they couldn't bring that about until they gave you this alternative, which is the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and allow that to fail. Then they can say, oh, well, that failed, so we'll bring this in. So, I mean,
yes.
There's a lot of great ideas, but bills don't get paid on ideas. You can't build a house on ideas alone. You can't raise a family on ideas alone. There has to be more substance.
You mean practical living? Economics, maybe?
What's that?
That we don't just have a money tree out in the backyard. We go pluck dollars and bills and, of course, oh, I forget, that's what our credit cards are for.
Oh, boy, yeah.
That's economics, you know, just aren't really understood either. And so don't bother me with that. I got to play my video game or watch The Walking Dead or, you know, text my friends or take a selfie for social media or worry about what the Kardashians are doing or, you know, don't bother
Caitlyn
me with
Jenner.
That. Just give me the stuff and leave me alone. I don't want to think about it. That's what I hear a lot. I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to think about it. I don't want to worry about politics. But those are the same people that are the ones crying foul when they don't get what they want. Well, you should have been worried about it in the first place.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the alarms are being sounded off, and if people don't listen, there's going to be consequences, and they're not going to be liking the consequences. And that's what all of us who are, who can see this train wreck coming down the tracks, we're having a fit about it. And because these people can't see, like you said, the end result, and that's the sad part. And it not be too much fun.
Right. Well, Karen, we are already an hour and 1 minute into the show. I did extend it for the live folks. Yeah, I did extend the show a little bit for the live folks because I wanted to really quick talk about this article that you had sent me. And for all of you tree huggers, you can do your part. Plant. You can have a tree planted for you. That article that you sent me, and for you folks who don't know, there's a porn website that says for every 100 videos that are watched, they're going to plant a tree. So you see how something insidious, how something evil, in my opinion, is allowed to get a fresh coat of paint, so to speak, by saying, well, you know, what we're doing good. Hey, look at, you know, we're doing good. Oh, you know, porn doesn't hurt anybody, and we're going to plant a tree, you know. So you can see, and that's just one example, Karen, of how bad is turned to good. And we see a lot of that in this country. But that article, when I saw that, there should be a handprint on my forehead from the facepalm.
Exactly.
There should be a big bright red handprint on my forehead because I just couldn't believe it. When I saw that, I was like, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. And I see it for what it is.
We don't want to say who that is, but this particular site, and this is just one of how many out there, gets 1 billion hits per month.
Wow.
1 billion. And it's big money because, of course, they say, well, just have this video and you can check out the ones that are free. You can, watch the more tame ones. And we all know that it's as an addiction that it changes the brain. There's been studies. We can't bring them up today, but obviously it changes the chemicals in the brain. It becomes an addiction, and you got to have the ones now that cost the money and are much more depraved, and it gets deeper. It's just like a gateway drug.
Right.
And like you said, how insidious and evil is it to say, here we're going to destroy your life, or we're going to tell you that, but we're going to do the good thing and plant a tree. So
right.
You can feel good about your depravity. Wow. Yeah, that's really crossing the line. But that's how the devil operates. He doesn't tell you up front, you know, I'm here to destroy, to steal, kill, and destroy. I want you to think that I come as an angel of light and that I'm doing good. I mean, obviously, why would your enemy say, I'm coming here to tear you apart and to destroy your family, destroy your finances, you know, whether it's whatever the temptation is. And, he tried to tempt Christ in the wilderness with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And here you can have everything. But there's always that little fine print, Jay, that he doesn't tell you about. By the time you're in the middle of it, it's too late to pull out sometimes because you're in the thick of bondage. What started out as maybe lust becomes bondage. And that's how he operates, because he hates human beings. He's a murderer. He's a hater. You want to talk about hater. But he's convinced people that evil is good and good is evil at this point.
Right.
Wow. Talk about blurring the lines. Wow.
Yeah.
just pretty crazy. And I'm sure there's many more that will come up with more inventive, you know, innovative ways to catch people unawares and put them in bondage. And usually it's around money.
Yes.
Big industry. Big bucks.
Oh, it's a huge industry.
It's just like Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Same thing. It's all about money.
Yes,
but they
it is.
Say it's about women's health, excuse me, and the good things that they do.
And, of course, I say this tongue-in-cheek, and I do not actually mean it, but if you care about the environment, watch porn. That's what that article says to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a flat earther, mm-hmm. you're not going to watch porn. You know, something's wrong with you because you don't like the environment. That's what it says to me. Yeah.
Well, and that's the implied message. See, that's the other thing. We talk a lot about propaganda, and we know that it works. We know that, you know, psychological, we were talking when not too long ago about psychological experiments and things, and I watched one not too long ago where they had the students in a classroom, and they asked them about their sleeping habits, and they were having trouble sleeping. So they told them that half of the class was going to get a placebo, and the other class is going to get a new inventive pill to help them go to sleep. And they were going to have this experiment. So they went home, took their pills, did their thing, came back, and the instructor said, "So how'd everything go?" And there were people, "Oh man, I never had such a good, great, deep sleep in my life. That was the best thing ever. Whatever that was, it worked great. You know, I want you to make sure that you put that down. And I woke up refreshed, blah, blah, blah." Then at the end of all of this interviewing, people said, "I didn't feel anything, I didn't feel any different, blah, blah, blah." But there was a certain amount of them, probably 20% of them at least, who were just went on and on about it. And he goes, "Well, the thing is, I gave you all a sugar pill."
Right.
There was no division. You all got a sugar pill. And they were embarrassed. They were laughing. You know, they felt like, "Oh, wow, did we get, you know, taken or whatever." But this is how human beings are. This is what we do. We know this for a fact. And the people that are in big money know it, too. And they use it to their advantage. You know, that's almost like, to me, Jay saying, "Well, here's heroin. And if you shoot up, you know, a little bit of heroin here, we'll just plant a tree for you."
Right.
That'll make up for it. It won't destroy your life. We'll just plant a tree.
Yeah. You should feel good about that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a crazy, crazy world we live in, Karen.
I'm just really glad it's God's story and that he's in control of things, Jay, and that, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, that all these news stories that we have, all these things that are going on around us, what's really important is not this temporal, what we see on this earth. What is important is our eternal life and keeping our eyes focused as well on eternal life, because that's where we're heading. Once we all die, and we all will, you know, and there's all this hype about end times and hype about this and that. The thing is, six people not too far from us over the weekend died from monoxide poisoning, running a generator improperly, whole family wiped out.
Yep, it was in their basement.
And the thing is, did they know they were going into eternity that weekend? No, of course not. But that's the urgency. Now, today is the day of your salvation. Not waiting for tomorrow, not waiting for tonight. And, you know, God wants to bring us out of this system and give us eternal life through Christ. That's why he broke into human history. That's why he paid the price for sin that separated us from him. And it isn't just about the fact that we aren't going to have eternal separation from God, but that we can walk with him every day and have his help and his love and support, and then also get eternal life through the righteous blood of Christ that washes us clean of all of our sin. So no matter what anybody's done, there's nothing that the blood of Christ can't wash away. Nothing.
Amen.
It's for all. So don't ever think that you're too far gone and that you can't be washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, because you can.
Amen.
And
I can't think,
you know.
Right, I was going to say, I can't think of a better thought to end the show on than that. I mean,
that's
really.
That's important, Jay.
Right, especially
really
especially in the world we live in today, where we're considered the extremists for holding our faith.
Sure.
You know, dangerous times for folks who follow blindly their political leaders, their religious leaders, their social leaders.
Environmental
leaders, economic leaders, yeah. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But the bottom line is, the main point, like you said, it doesn't matter. Because your time here can end at any time. Regardless of how careful you are, regardless of the precautions you might take, or the plans you might have, you are not the ruler of your own destiny. There's a lot of things that you can do to contribute to your destiny, but ultimately everything is in God's hands. And if you're not right with God, you should get right with God before you go to bed. Simple as that, because you don't know. You just don't know. And you know what, Karen? I would much rather go to bed feeling I won't say satisfaction, but a feeling of confidence that if, you know, if I am unfortunately taken from this world, which I say unfortunately because, you know, we do love this world. We have our friends, our family. You know, but you know, you look at it another way, and you know, the way I look at it, if God, you know, were to take me, and it's His timing, obviously, then you know, it's His timing, and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, you can do whatever you want. I think your hubby Doc puts it best when he says, "You're not going to live 1 second longer than God wants you to," and that's the honest to God's truth. There's nothing. There's no other way to put it, and that's as simple as that. So get right with God. You have an opportunity this minute to get right with God. And like you said, no sin is too big for God, for the blood of Jesus to wash away.
Well, that's it, Jay. And the peace, once you're settled and rested in Christ and you've been reconciled through the work of the cross, you can have that assurance when you put your head down or any time in the day, because we're no longer afraid of death because we're made alive in Him right now, because we all have eternal life. It's just where you're going to spend it, right? And so the main thing is you've got to get settled is, do you trust that there's a living God who loves you enough to pay the price for sin and separation of mankind, who created the universe, who sent His only Son to pay that atonement for our sin. It doesn't even cost us anything except bowing our knee and accepting.
Swallowing our pride, ridding ourselves of
our
selfish nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes.
Exactly.
But see,
that's the battle.
It sounds so simple when we say it, Karen, but it's not that simple for a lot of people, because they don't want to let go.
Well, and it's a control thing. It's the who controls what. But we have an illusion of control, because we all are going to die. We're all going to take that last breath. And it isn't even just about death to me, Jay. It's about being empowered in life, to live a life of joy and peace, and it isn't a life that's carefree or without hardship, if anything, but it is a source of help and hope that there's more than just this world that we're in.
That's, amen.
That's the thing. It's hope. Mm-hmm. And we want to share that with others so they have hope and they have salvation and be reconciled to God. Because in the end, every knee is going to bow before the God of the universe. And he's not a force. He is a personal God who will judge at one point. And you want to be looked at as righteous. Because when he looks at us, right today, if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we've been covered and washed by the blood of Christ. He sees us as righteous, not of anything that we could ever do, so that you and I can't boast, Jay. We can't go, oh, well, we're so much better than everybody else. No, everybody's on the same playing field. Rich, poor, old, young, whatever. Nobody can do enough work to work their way into heaven. That's the point. But he's
right.
Given us a free gift of grace that we're saved by faith, that we believe him, that what he did for us, we believe and we accept that. And we lay down that selfish life that we're, you know. And the thing is, it's more of a rich life than ever, because we still have our individual things that we do, and it, we just don't like to sin as much as we used to.
Right.
It's not appealing to us anymore like it used to be. But sin is destruction and death. So we don't want it anymore. It's not, we come out of that. And that's the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
Mm.
Well,
right.
I think we will call it a show for today.
Mhm. I think that's a good idea.
What
and,
a great show. On the way out the door, I'm going to play us a song that kind of ties into what we've been talking about, an old Johnny Cash tune. We'll play it on the way out. But, Karen, I'll give you a couple minutes to say whatever you want to say before we close the show. How's that?
All right. We just want to say thanks to everybody. We love you all, and we want to share this good news with you. And we appreciate you coming and listening to us and participating with us. And our new listeners, welcome. We appreciate you. Come back next week. We'll be talking more about things in the world and about the Lord. So please join us next week at 2 p.m. Eastern here at Truth Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. And everybody have a really blessed week, blessed rest of the week and weekend.
Yes, and if you're in the path of the big snowstorm heading up the east and supposed to catch us too, I believe you guys up there in Flint are going to get worse than we are. So, take precautions and don't go out and shovel snow and be crazy in it, you know. We all want to meet our maker, but we don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Have a great week, Karen. It's a blessing doing the show. Thanks to all of our listeners. So you folks on Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, and the folks who get the show directly from our website, www.thetruthradionetwork.com. We appreciate you listening and your support. And hopefully you'll share these shows with your friends and your family, maybe even some of your clergy, if you don't agree with what they have to say. But I think I'll play this song, Karen, and we'll wish everyone a great week. God bless you all. We love you. Thank you. And God willing, we will be back here next week. Most likely, we're going to open the show talking about chocolate and or coffee, and then we'll get into some real issues. There's a lot of stuff the last 2 weeks that we've shared, a lot of stories that we've shared that we haven't gotten into. So maybe one of these days we'll do it.
We will.
All right, folks. Thank you for listening to the Truth Radio Network. We will catch you next week. And this is a song that talks about...
And I heard, as it were,
what happens.
Noise of thunder.
And God comes around.
One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
This is the Truth Radio Network. The Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.